Today we're here with Jennifer Lee, right? Of the a program manager of the application model team. Is it a separate team?
So I'm a program manager on WPF, and we have feature areas.
Okay, so
one of
focus.
Which is application model. Yeah.
Okay, so can you just define a little bit what application model means? Because we use the term a lot all over the place, and I think it gets out of context sometimes. So what do you define it as?
So how we kind of define it is, you know, the application, there's the application object, obviously, mm-hmm. which is the basic building block of WPF applications, and then, you know, the various kinds of services that an application might want to take advantage of, like resource loading, or, you know, maybe I want to access a database or something, use web services. We do a lot of kind of the plumbing work. So, like, how do you interop with Win32 technologies? How do we integrate with the browser, like Internet Explorer, Firefox? There's, mm-hmm. you know, obviously a lot of plumbing work that goes on there. So
I bet,
that's the kind of goo that we like to muck around in, I guess, on this team.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, this is WPF Week on Channel 9. We're excited about WPF. We have a new service pack release. So, what has changed in the application model?
So, one of the major, I guess, focus points of the release was cold start, and that kind of spans all of WPF, so we made some kind of specific improvements there. So, both in actual cold start, like, how much time does it take for something to, like, from the time you click on it till it starts running, you know, how long are you sitting there waiting, and then perceived cold start, which is, like, okay, if you have to sit there waiting, can I give you some indication that something's happening?
Right.
So, in application model for this release, we did, for XBAPs, which are browser-hosted applications, we did, we already had a progress page, but it was in managed code.
Okay.
Which meant it was actually in WPF.
So you had to load
Which meant we had to start up most all of WPF to show the progress page for WPF.
Okay.
So what we did was actually implemented a native progress page, which shows, so I think the old one took like between 8 to 15 seconds cold start, and now it's like 3 to 5 seconds. So it's
cool.
So, you know, as part of factoring that out, we improved the real cold start a little bit too, which was nice. Similarly for applications, there's a splash screen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in addition to a lot of the just cold start improvements that have been going throughout the team, mm-hmm. I think there's another talk about that already, but we have an application splash screen, so we have a native image that will come up, you know, and it can be branded, et cetera, to the application. And then when the actual application comes up, it'll kind of fade out. So, you've probably seen it in many other applications.
Yeah, well, so just to be really clear, so you mentioned a cold start, like a real cold start and a perceived start.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain just a little in detail on what a cold start, and then I'm guessing there's a warm start, a hot start, you know, like what just so they completely understand what that means.
You know, startup is like, you know, what are the components in the code that need to be kind of read in and started up for the application to start up. And when we talk about cold start, it's like, you know, all this stuff is not in memory, it hasn't been used recently, so kind of, if you think of, I've just restarted my machine, and I haven't used any, you know, .NET applications or anything, you know, basically, everything you need to run this application has to be pulled in from disk and actually started. Whereas for warm start, say you've already been running a WPF application, and then you want to run another one, you know, major components like the CLR,
it's all already
kind of there, yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of the lesser evil because we're like there waiting.
You're halfway there, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the cold start has been improved the most, and then as you said, that kind of cascades down to the other starts in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So then to improve the perceived start, you can add the splash screen, which you mentioned is customizable. How do you do that? Because it sounds like you said it's native, so how do you customize the splash screen?
I mean, it's basically any of the image formats that we support.
Okay.
So you can have transparency with like a PNG, you know, you can can use a JPEG. It's basically like, you know, any image that you want to use as a splash screen, you can specify that, and then, you know, we have some nice support that we're putting into Visual Studio for,
okay.
You know, you can add an item and say set as a splash screen.
Oh, like a build action or something?
Yeah, well, essentially, like it is a build action, okay. But, like, say you had an image in your project, mm-hmm. and you wanted to, like, right-click and make that your splash screen, or you can also, if you're familiar with the VS UI, go to, like, add new, and there's actually...
Oh, okay. Like a special
So it's,
type,
it's pretty right? easy. It's simple, mm-hmm. but it's customizable in that you can provide whatever image you want.
Okay.
And we'll put it up.
Very cool.
For you. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So that's definitely one of the big, probably most noticeable things people will see is this perceived of WPF apps load much faster now. So that sounds like a big win there as far as the new features. So what else is there?
One thing that a lot of our customers had asked about is being able to interop between a WPF application and hosted content. Most commonly HTML content.
Right.
So, in the past, we didn't have our own kind of native control to do that, or I guess native to WPF.
Mm-hmm.
But we introduced a new control. It's called a web browser control.
Okay.
And it enables a few cool things. So, if you have a WPF application that's hosting web content in this web browser control, the WPF code can invoke script methods in that code, and the script code can call methods on the WPF code.
Oh, great. Okay.
That WPF, that app author actually, like, exposes, says, okay. I want to expose this to HTML. Another thing you can do is load HTML content from a stream or a string.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds kind of mundane, but it enables you to do things like suck HTML content out of a database and display it in there,
mm-hmm.
or display like RSS feed data.
Okay.
So that's kind of a new thing that you couldn't do before. And you can do it in partial trust,
okay.
which you haven't been able to do in a .NET
like
application
at all.
Yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a WinForms web browser control.
Right.
That enables, you know, much of the same functionality that controls only safe for full trust.
Full trust. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's interesting. It sounds like the opposite of Silverlight, where Silverlight is hosted within the HTML, and we have interop there going back up to HTML.
Mm-hmm.
But then here you have the opposite, where WPF is hosting the HTML. So...
Yeah, so our customers were kind of interested in this for, like, you know, scenarios where they kind of want to migrate from, you know, okay, I have some web content, but mm-hmm. I want to integrate it into this kind of rich WPF
show. Yeah.
Or I want to take advantage of some cool web controls, I know, like Virtual Earth or something.
Yeah.
I want to be able to host that and kind of... You know, drive what's going on in that control and communicate back so my WPF app can react to something that's going on in that control.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. So what about, like, in the XBAP situation, or scenario, I guess,
mm-hmm.
When that page loads, there's no HTML interop because it's just the XBAP loading, correct?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't fit there, but it is the other way where WPF is...
Well, no, I mean, it does. I mean, so an XBAP is hosted top level in the browser, so it's mm-hmm. not, there's not really like HTML if you're
right.
just using XBAP. That XBAP can turn around and then host HTML
okay.
within it.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's definitely one of the scenarios where I think even more so for XBAPs, like you're already on the web.
Yeah.
And you want to use this web control. It's just kind of the notion of online only app can take advantage of other
yeah.
stuff. That's also online.
That's interesting. It's like, I was just reminded of, like, the old HTML frames. Like, we had the frame set, and so you could have, like, WPF as this super frame set that, you know, is real thick, hardware accelerated, but then inside is the regular web page frame. I mean,
So that's kind of the more vanilla, like, mm-hmm. I just want to show some HTML, whereas what we're doing in the web browser is more of a, like, richer integration, dynamic content.
Right, yeah. I was just thinking of the WPF super frame set, but anyways, okay. Sorry to confuse you. So the HTML interop And it's pretty easy to do. Is you, like,
it is. I can show you an example of it. It's
okay. Sure. Yeah.
Now or
yeah. Go ahead. Show us an example.
Okay. So essentially, like, it's a WPS control that you add to your tree. So I actually have an XBAB application here, and you know, this is the code behind a really just the default page that Visual Studio will generate for you. So let me just point out the interesting parts, I guess. So here we've got web browser. We'll just create a new one.
Okay.
And then we add it to our tree. And so here, you know, we're just kind of initializing it a little bit. And here we add it to the tree of the stack panel in a page.
Mm-hmm.
So the interesting parts for interop are down here. Object for scripting is what's used for the HTML content to be able to access client code.
Okay.
So object for scripting is any COM visible object.
Mm-hmm.
And any COM visible methods or properties that are on that object, if you set the object to object for scripting, then when you have HTML content loaded in the web browser control,
mm-hmm.
if it calls window.external, which is just a built-in DOM object, essentially you can call anything on that object. Likewise, if you called browser.invokeScript,
mm-hmm.
That's how you would invoke a script method. So you know,
okay.
you would have to know the name of that method. And so you just basically say, this is the method name, and here's some parameters if you need parameters. And
okay.
You can call it. So that's kind of what this code does. So you can see browser.invokeScript. It's calling a method called test, and it's passing in this parameter.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll just run it. So this sample is just trying to illustrate the boundary between WPF and hosted HTML content and show that they can mutually access each other's models. So, not the flashiest or prettiest of demos, but so here, this button says call script code from client code.
Mm-hmm.
And the alert box says call from client code. So, essentially, this is calling the method. If we go back here. It's modal. this
box.
Is calling what I just showed you, which is the test method, and it passed in called from client code, and now this is the message box being displayed,
okay.
and it's actually being displayed from the script code.
So
does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. So really, you just have to register the object so that the page then knows which managed code, I guess, application it can access. Kind of well. In some sense. So really, yeah, you're just registering it to let the page know about this object that it can call into.
Mm-hmm.
And then, based off of which methods you've exposed, is it just an attribute, or...?
So the object for scripting is a property.
Okay.
On the web browser object. So you can only set one.
Okay.
At a time, but there can be as many, you know, properties and methods within that object.
Right, yeah.
As you want.
Okay.
So similarly, you can call client code from script code. And this is the client code reading the document title from the actual HTML DOM.
Oh, okay.
So just to kind of illustrate this, from the client code, I would say, you know, here's my new title in the text box in the WPF code. And then say change the title. And you can see that it actually gets changed.
Cool.
In the DOM.
Okay.
Yeah, so just kind of really simple example there.
Yeah, good. A very simple sample, but a very powerful feature, right? Because you can call into that. So, yeah, it was interesting you mentioned the scenarios for that were for, like, migrating with, or if you're migrating code, like you have existing applications and they're all web-based, you can add them to your WPF, your new WPF application, but also to take advantage of other web features. So yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So Is there anything else?
One thing I wanted to mention was Firefox support for .application. So, actually, in our last release, which was .NET 3.5, mm-hmm. we got support for XBAPS and XAML in Firefox. And unfortunately, we weren't able to do .application then.
Oh, okay.
And now we've got .application. So, a .application is essentially any WPF application that's click-once deployed.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Unfortunately, in Firefox before, it wasn't click-once. It was kind of this, you know, clumsy, like, you had to save the file to your local machine and then execute
right.
it. And now we've kind of done the integration with Firefox, so
okay.
users there should have the same experience that they can expect in Internet Explorer.
So how is that integration set up as far as, is it in the browser? Is it something they have to install to get the application to work?
So it's actually a browser extension that okay. we install with the framework. So then
Firefox knows about it and they go
Firefox
and grab it.
Firefox knows about it and essentially okay. lets us, you know, kind of
offer whatever.
Yeah.
Install files.
Handle okay. what we will, I guess.
Great.
And you don't need to do anything if you install Arrowhead. I don't think we're calling it Arrowhead now.
Windows WPF 3.5 SP1.
So there's SP1 and there's also a client profile of that.
Yes, there you go.
Essentially,
right.
as far as WPF is concerned, mm-hmm. same release. So, if you install that, you should get the Firefox support for .application.
Okay, great. So, a lot of cool features for developers to make their applications run smoother, or actually enabling some new scenarios a bit more with like the HTML interop. So this looks like a really cool release for WPF as far as the application model improvements, but just in general. So, excited about this release, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
This is a big one. I think just the more I've talked to different people, the more I've just really realized that this is, I think, a really big release for WPF. So.
Yeah, we've been focusing a lot on, you know, customer targeted feedback. So, like, you know, things that people, the customers we heard wanted us to work on. And, you know, we're excited to mm-hmm. hopefully deliver those successfully in this release.
Well, great. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.